When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Monday Night Football against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Jackpot, baby!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
What's the challenge here, Joey?
Eckler has a hold. Touchdown!
Coach Staley was talking about is you're not going to win this game because you beat the Chiefs.
Picked off by Derwin James!
You're going to win this game because you put in a lot of hard work.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Coming up, Giants quarterback Daniel Jones. Former NFL general manager Michael Lombardi. Plus, actor Morris Chestnut. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. And man, is there so much going on in the NFL just 1 month into the season, 4 weeks into the season. We saw a Chargers win last night with lightning literally in the air, and then they showed the Raiders and all their fans in SoFi Stadium their figurative lightning bolts last night and created a three-way 3-1 tie atop the AFC West. Meanwhile, down in Jacksonville, Florida, Urban Meyer's Friday night out is still having ripple effects here on a Tuesday. Prior to week five going down in the National Football League with a huge kickoff on a Thursday night triple cast, first triple cast of the year, NFL Network, Amazon Prime, and of course Fox Network with the Rams and the Seahawks on the deep end of that NFC West pool. Lots going on in Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, PA, where Mike Tomlin says Big Ben has a hip issue. One thing where waters were certainly calmed a bit is in the city of New York, where the Jets and the Giants won on the same weekend. The Jets with their first win of the year at home in overtime against the Titans team. That was a bit banged up, but the Jets did their job. And talk about a tough assignment. Talk about a tough assignment. Going into New Orleans, taking on a Saints team that had been on the road essentially since the middle of August. It's their first home game in the Superdome of the year. And not just that, but the first home game in the Superdome with fans since 2019. And you know, there was a party in New Orleans going into that game. And there was a lot of swing oil, to use the golf phrase, going down for all those fans getting ready for that game. And who went in and came out with the win? But the New York Giants. And the quarterback of that team joining us right now on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line here on the Rich Eisen Show, off of a big-time win for him and the team, Daniel Jones. How are you, Daniel?
I'm doing good, Rich. How are you?
How loud was that crowd? How was that scene?
It was loud. They got going third downs, and anytime we were down there in the red area, they were going. So it was a fun atmosphere to play in.
I mean, where does that rank for you? You've obviously been in this league now 2+ years, your third year. I mean, this assignment, 0-3, back against the wall, Saints fans in that building for the first time since 2019. Where does that assignment rank for you, Daniel?
It's definitely up there. I think it's up there, definitely towards the top, if not at the top. So, we knew it was a big game. We knew what the atmosphere would be like and you know, how fired up they'd be going in. So something we prepared for. It was a huge game for us, and, I thought we were ready for it.
Well, and then the walk-off. Then the walk-off in overtime where Saquon hits pay dirt. I couldn't help but notice as the celebration began – that Saquon ran past pretty much everybody until he found you. What's your relationship with him like, Daniel Jones?
It's good. I mean, I think, we've been together now, 2+ years and, have gone through a lot, and he's certainly gone through a lot coming back from his knee injury, and you know, just being able to see up close and personal how hard he worked to get back, what he did on a day in and day out basis to get to where he's at now. And then, you know, I thought it was so fitting that he had the walk off run there, and excited for him, excited for this team. Something we've got to build on.
Yeah, it's just like the two of you seem to have a moment. When you said, we know what he's been through, obviously, not just the knee injury, but being drafted so high as a running back in this day and age, it's kind of an outlier. How would you term what you've been through, Daniel Jones?
It's been, we obviously had a tough start to this season, tough start to last season, and a lot of things we need to do better and we've been working on to improve. So, after losing three games, not getting the results that, we would have, hoped for and expected, like you said, kind of having our backs against the wall going into New Orleans, it was a big win for us and exciting. So we've got to build off of it going forward.
No, I understand, Daniel. You're a Duke man. I went to, Michigan, I think I'm on your intellectual wavelength. I asked about you. You mentioned team. You use words like us and stuff like that. What about you? I mean, you hear what's going on. You hear what people are saying in the New York metropolitan area about your third year and how big it is for you. What would you say you've been through so far in New York and New Jersey, Daniel?
It's playing quarterback in New York and representing this franchise is, it's a highly scrutinized position and we haven't won enough games and I've certainly need to play better and put the team in a position to win. So I understand the responsibility and the expectations of this position and I think that's part of it. It's an exciting opportunity though to be in this position and have the opportunity to play quarterback in New York, play quarterback for the Giants. So it comes with a lot of scrutiny and people, looking at what you're doing, how you're playing. And that's also an opportunity to play well and put the team in a position to win.
How do you put all that aside? And because you've got it in you, right? I mean, you've got it in you. You've got the talent. You were drafted top 10 for a reason. You can run, you can throw, which is exactly what you need to succeed in the 21st century. You got an all-world running back there. You got some terrific weapons around. How do you place aside all the stuff that you're supposed to be placing aside, but human beings have a difficulty doing, Daniel Jones?
Yeah. I mean, I think, it's certainly, you don't seek any of the that out or definitely don't look for it. But kind of what's going on from talking to people in the media, doing press conferences, but I think the important thing is focusing on what you're doing and focusing on, playing football, preparing, practicing every week, studying, watching film, getting yourself ready to go, and making sure that's what you're thinking about. That's what you're doing on a day in and day out basis, and knowing and trusting that will. Show itself on Sunday.
So you don't turn to your burner Twitter account and tweet back at the trolls? You're not doing that, Daniel? No?
I'm not. Rich,
okay. No. You weren't upset that Instagram went down yesterday? You're not on that sort of stuff, Daniel?
I didn't know it.
You didn't? So you... You did not know Instagram and Facebook went down yesterday. Like, literally, I just informed you that.
I did after the fact, yeah. After the fact,
okay.
I heard someone... talking about it. No,
I just wanted to make sure. How has Eli Manning influenced you, Daniel? How has he influenced you?
Yeah, I mean, I was very fortunate to have that year with him and see, how he did it, how he carried himself and to build that relationship with him. He's had a huge impact on me and a huge influence on me and kind of setting the standard and showing how this position is supposed to be played on the field and also how to carry yourself off the field representing this team, this franchise, and this city. So, I think, he's helped me out a ton, and certainly a relationship I'm fortunate to have.
Has anyone ever told you you sound exactly like him, Daniel? Has anyone ever just told you?
I heard that a little bit my rookie year, but this is that's probably the first time in a while I've heard that.
Well, I got to be honest with you, Daniel. I've interviewed Eli Manning. He was in the league when NFL Network started in 2003. I think this might be just the same conversation I had with him very early on in his career, you know, and obviously he survived it significantly. And you are in your third year right now, and that's why I'm asking, you know, if his past can be your prologue, if you know about that and actually use that to your advantage, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, it's certainly something I could, you know, I'm aware of it and something to learn from, and like I said, he kind of set the standard and. Mm-hmm. Showed the way of how it's supposed to be done, you know, in this position. So I guess I'll take that as a compliment.
Daniel Jones, Giants quarterback, fresh off the big overtime win in New Orleans here on the Rich Eisen Show. One of my favorite people I've gotten to meet in the 18 years I've done this job is your offensive coordinator in Jason Garrett. I mean, his disposition, I don't know how, you know, I'd love to live life like that, you know. He is truly remarkable and obviously also under a microscope at wherever he's been. How is your relationship with him and this offense? What can we expect now that you're 1 month into this year and obviously year two in? What can be expected in your relationship with him and how that can actually affect some more W's for your team?
I'd certainly second your, you know, thoughts on him and how impressive he is on a day in and day out basis. The way he carries himself and sets the example for all of us, you know, players, especially me, as a quarterback. You know, I have a great relationship with him. He's made a huge impact on me these past couple of years.
How so? What does he tell you? How so?
Well, I think. You know, I think it's the example he sets, who he is, how consistent he is with his attitude, his approach to football, approach to challenges, and you know, making sure we're prepared every week. And you know, I think he's just, you know, I think consistency and how he prepares himself every day is a huge is something we all, you know, look to. Certainly, I look to. In my position. So learned a ton of football from him, certainly, as well. And he's been around the game, obviously played for a long time and has been around the game coaching and had a lot of success. So learned a ton from him on the field as well. So we'll continue to work, and he's someone that certainly I have a lot of faith in and you know, the entire offense does. So we'll continue to work and develop.
And there's a lot of talk around the league, obviously, coach quarterback relationships, HC and QB, and you know, Kirk Cousins is now having a 45-minute weekly meeting with Mike Zimmer and the whole Brady Belichick thing and how they used to have meetings and stuff. What about you and Joe Judge? What's your interaction with him throughout the week, Daniel Jones?
We have a great relationship. Coach Judge is you know, very involved in all three phases of the game. He's a special teams guy, you know, by trade, but certainly, you know, is just a football coach, knows a ton about every part of the game. So, you know, we talk every week going in, talk about the defense, what we see schematically, personnel-wise, and then how that's going to affect our game plan. So, you know, we're in constant conversation throughout the week about the plan and you know, how he sees this game being played, how he sees, you know, my role in that, and you know, kind of, you know, I'd say it's a, very consistent and constant conversation throughout the week.
And it's just a big week too, Daniel. I mean, it's Cowboys week. They're atop the division. A win would put you directly back in the mix. We all know that a 1-7 start did not sink your team last year. I'm wondering how big you think this game is this week for you.
Yeah, it's an important game. All these divisional games are extremely important, and we know we've got to prepare and play well, but our focus is on, you know, just this week and doing that, and we got to build off some of the good things we did last week and correct those things, but focus on what we got to do to beat Dallas, and these are huge games. All these divisional games are huge.
All right, Daniel. If you wouldn't mind doing something for me before you leave this conversation, I'd greatly appreciate it. I've never asked anything of you before. I run the 40-yard dash every year, and you had one of the top speeds in the NFL last year. You you could have been ticketed in certain parts of this country. Is there any advice you can give me on how to run faster, Daniel? Like, how do you do it?
Running faster. I didn't run a very good 40 at the combine.
What'd you run?
And I ran fast, but I also fell. So I don't know.
Hold on a second.
Try to run hard, but make sure you don't run too hard for your speed, I guess. Don't overrun your speed.
But okay.
I don't know. Maybe it helps if someone's chasing you.
Well, I was told that, by the way, that wouldn't be a bad idea. That would make me faster if someone was chasing me. I like that idea. But I've been told all the time whenever I run the 40, I should feel like I'm about to fall over. That's the way I was told. Because, you got to get out in front of your hips. Like, you can't, you know, that's what I was told. So maybe I put this all together and you can be my inspiration, Daniel.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm the guy to listen to there. Just run like someone's chasing
me. Okay, like someone's chasing me. And I don't know, 4.81 at the combine sounds like you got mistimed. I'll be honest with you. So I know the feeling. Maybe we're closer in lockstep than anything before. Daniel, thanks for the time. Congrats on that big W, man. I know so many people in the metropolitan area that you made happy with that. And good luck throughout the season. I'd love to chat again. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Rich.
You bet. That's Daniel Jones, everybody, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm not going to lie. I was reading something and kind of zoned out for a second, and then when I popped back into the conversation, I literally thought you were talking to Eli Manning.
Dude, he
sounds just like him.
I have been at this game since 2003 in the National Football League.
It's unbelievable.
All right? I have been at this game. My first draft that I covered for NFL Network was 2004. And all of that conversation was what are the Chargers going to do first overall? Are they really going to take Eli when the Manning family said don't? And then they did. Yep. And there's that famous photograph of Eli holding up a Chargers jersey with a number one next to Paul Tagliabue looking like he had just had something stolen from him. And at the time, there was all of these machinations. He's smiling up here, but there's all of these machinations going on behind the scenes. And I would love to do a deep dive on this. Because the Giants, as you know, draft Phillip Rivers, and then they swap quarterbacks. That's how Phillip Rivers, kiddos, wound up with the Chargers. And then later on, a kid that I interviewed on NFL Total Access and asked him why he wears the number 7, and says he wears number 7 because he loves Bond, James Bond. And, you know, when he was out in Los Angeles, said, who do you want to meet? He said, Jessica Alba. That's what he said. Fresh off of the campus at Miami of Ohio.
Pretty good.
Ben Roethlisberger got drafted by the Steelers. And the Giants, everyone thought maybe they should take him too, but they took Phillip Rivers and went, what are you talking about? So I've interviewed Eli Manning many, many, many times. And certainly when he was there, I did a commercial with him. I did an NFL Network promo where I dressed in a full 70s outfit playing Bob Eubanks because we did a Newlywed Game commercial. Okay, you remember that?
I do.
And one of the couples that was together in this commercial, football couples, one of them was Lovie Smith and Brian Urlacher. Okay. And another one was Kurt Warner and Eli Manning in Giants outfits. So long before, you know, all of this, Eli Manning was a kid that was coming for Kurt's job. And Kurt will tell you, he was doing pretty well when Tom Coughlin said, you're out, Eli's in. as he was a, you know, a Super Bowl champion, a former Super Bowl MVP. So I've interviewed Eli Manning. I've been all around Eli Manning. Daniel Jones sounds exactly like Eli Manning. And if I interviewed Eli Manning on NFL Total Access in his first couple of years as a Giants quarterback when he was getting his ass beat, if you remember that one time in a Philadelphia Eagle game, he wasn't seeing somebody coming and he got blown up. Talking about, hey, you know, how you doing in New York? Your brother's Peyton. Everybody's expecting you to be Peyton. Can you live up to Peyton? And now you're in New York and all that stuff. And how you feel? And he sounded like his pulse was not getting above like 20 beats per minute. He sounded just like Daniel Jones sounds like. And if you took the transcript from like 2005, 2006, before 2007 happened, I might be word for word what Daniel Jones just said. Just trying to get better, asking about you, Daniel, not about the team, asking about you. And he talks about the team instead. And newsflash, Daniel Jones says he does not have a burner account and was told by somebody that Instagram and Facebook went down yesterday, which is great. You need that.
Which is great.
You need that makeup.
Yeah.
You definitely need that makeup. And I hope for him that when it all finishes up, he's got the same championship resume as Eli because he's got the skill set, man. He's got a big arm. He's got a terrific neck up.
And he is fast.
And he can run.
He can run.
He can run fast. That whole bit about, you know, hey, don't be like me. I ran a 4.81. Maybe I should have somebody chase me.
Yeah, miles per hour, he was the fastest in the league last year.
I made a joke after week three that he might be the best running back in New York.
Yeah, that's right.
And the one thing that I noticed, take a look at the video. Saquon scores. And he kind of acted a little bit like Christian Laettner, like everybody's trying to celebrate with him. He ran past a lot of his teammates, not disrespecting them, because I think he wanted to find his guy. I think he wanted to find his guy, and his guy is Daniel Jones, which you want to see. Let's take a break. On the other side of function, there's dysfunction. And that's what appears to be happening in Jacksonville, Florida, just four games into Urban Meyer's tenure. There's a tweet on Twitter that causes me some serious concern for Urban's viability. That's coming up next. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, there is a red alert happening right now in Jacksonville, Florida, with Urban Meyer. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I know that sounds alarmist, you know, but when just 4 weeks in to the Jaguars having everything set up, they got one of the most successful college coaches with a CEO pedigree. He's the CEO of the sideline, and he knows how to set up a winning system, right? He's written books on it. He's talking about it. He probably gives lectures, TED Talks, and everything about it. Leadership, all about that. And you've got that set up, giving him the golden opportunity of being an NFL head coach, extremely well compensated. And you hook him up with Trevor Lawrence, and the Jaguars had to be like, okay, we got this right. We got this right, and we're going to be the envy of everybody else in this league, and, you know, and let's go. The Khan family, as you know, Shad Khan is one of the most successful self-made people on planet Earth, on multiple continents. The AEW is the Khan family. Tony Khan, his son, right? I mean, this is set up. And 4 weeks in, we get that statement from Khan, Shad Khan today saying that what his conduct was last weekend was inexcusable. And I appreciate Urban's remorse, which I believe is sincere. Now he must regain our trust and respect. I am confident he will deliver. And, you know, there's two ways to look at that. One is, you know, the glass half full way, and the other is glass half full of lawyers. The glass half full way is like, man, we had this. We got him to come off of the set in Los Angeles. I mean, the Cowboys apparently were looking at him before, and he said no, and so, you know, this is what everyone, if you're going to reach into the college ranks, get the guy. And we signed him and, you know, we got to trust it. I mean, that video was ridiculous that an NFL head coach, a CEO of a team, a face front CEO of a team would be spending a Friday night like that, even though he thought he was amongst friends and somebody shot the video of it and then created a Twitter account out of thin air just to post it, and now that Twitter account's gone, so somebody had it out. You could just say that was a one-off, and we'll just trust it. And the other is half full of lawyers, which is, you know, put the statement up one more time, if you don't mind, Hoskins. The whole business of, you know, that was conduct last weekend was inexcusable. Conduct is the important word, because there's a morals clause out there, and there's for cause. And that's the way you can get out from paying somebody in a contract. Your conduct violated our morals clause in the contract, and that's it. You're owed nothing. So you want to go to USC? Go. You're off the Khan payroll. There's no dead money around here. We'll find somebody else who wants to coach Trevor Lawrence and fly back with the team after going 0-4. I mean, that's what that looks like to me. The problem about gaining trust and respect. How do you do that? Because it's not a bunch of kids that you have signed to letters of intent. These are grown men who have been in this league a long time, some of them, and others who want to make sure that the opportunity that they have right now is one that will be lasting. I mean, NFL stands for, as we know, not for long, and the average career is 4 years, and how are you going to gain the trust and respect? How can you tell a team, hey, on this bye week, whenever their bye week is, you got to be careful. Don't do anything stupid. Mm-hmm. When you've admitted, I did something stupid. He even said in his contrite apology in front of the media yesterday that he told Trevor Lawrence, hey, you're going to your bachelor party in Vegas. Be careful. I mean, how hollow does that ring? Well, you got to earn the trust and respect. Here's also the problem. Chris Long, our buddy, who's been on the show many, many times, had quite the tweet that he put out basically saying, if I'm a veteran player in Jacksonville, I am now my own boss.
Wow.
Says Chris Long. Jeez. And that sums it up of the mountain that Urban Meyer has to climb to gain back the trust and respect of that locker room. Red alert. Four games in, I'm blown away. I am blown away. But you just saw that right there. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the show. We'll talk about it with Michael Lombardi, who sent out a tweet saying he's hearing about all these closed-door meetings. Our buddy Michael Silver put out quite a thread as well, saying that players have lost the respect of Urban Meyer already. It's done. Done.
Or lost respect for Urban?
Yeah, it's done. That he canceled the team meeting and he did his apologies that he said to the players. He apparently did it in position group meetings. He didn't want to meet with everybody in one spot. Which that didn't sound like yesterday when he said he spoke to the team. And that players are like, you canceled the team meeting, but so you could do it individually, but you can't look us in the eye. I mean, like, literally, this is what NFL players want. They want to be looked at in the eye. And the person who is in charge of their livelihoods and their careers, that the look in the eye is from a man that can be trusted. Simple. That's it. And if you don't believe that that look from the person who's looking at you in the eye, if you don't think that is from a trustworthy individual, that is a bond that is impossible. I guess I shouldn't say impossible, but very difficult to rebuild. Which is why Chris Long says, if I'm a veteran now in Jacksonville, I am my own boss. I'm taking care of what I think I need to take care of because the person who's in charge of this hand on the rudder of my career and my livelihood, that guy's not to be trusted. One night in Ohio on a Friday night can just blow it all to smithereens. Nuts. Rich, number to dial, as I said, right here on the program. What do you make of the Raiders now? What do you make of the Las Vegas Raiders? I don't think things change very much.
Yeah, I still think they're a good team. Obviously not the best night for Derek Carr and John Gruden. I think they just ran into a really good quarterback and a really good team. I think the Chargers are really good. That's a team that can put three teams in a division that can put three teams in the playoffs.
But you went to the game last night, Mike, and you texted us it was 80-20.
It was 80-20.
80-20
no
Raiders fans.
Raiders, the Chargers fans that were probably sold their tickets. But I will say one thing. The Raiders couldn't gel. They didn't look good. Like, I was sitting with a lot of Raider fans, and like, this isn't our team. I'm like,
it isn't your team. I mean, they had three games this year, and two of them were crazy-ass affairs at home that could have gone either way, you know? The one in Pittsburgh was very impressive, and I don't want to hear that the Steelers can be had. You still have to go into that building, and I know that the Steelers were banged up. You still have to win the games that are right there in front of you, and how many times you see a team that doesn't. So this week against the Bears is going to be something because I want to see how the Bears locker room is handling it's Dalton's team or when he's healthy. And if not, it's Justin Fields' team. I'm going to keep hammering this one.
Eckler looked great. Oh my God.
You know,
Chargers look really good.
And that stadium that stadium's unbelievable.
We have two really good teams in LA from zero.
You know what was really weird last night? Here's really weird. The kids were totally out of sorts because in my household and here in Southern California, when the sky flashes, like, what is that?
Yeah, it was nuts.
And then when there's a rumble, they're like, what is that? A thunderstorm here in Southern California just like never happens. You know, that famous 70s song, it never rains in sunny Southern California. I mean, they were like, what's that flash? What is that bang? And we got to a window where, you know, where the view is of this, where you could see the sky. And we watched the lightning for 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Because take a look, kids. You know, like when we're on the East Coast, you might see it every now and then. But out here out West, they're like, what is that? And then just to see, you know, this game, the game got
It was raining
postponed.
As we were walking in.
Well, the game gets postponed. And so dad's got to go back in the office because I did the Westwood One pregame and halftime. And so I filled with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner. There may be an I in Rich and Eisen, but I'm a team player. So I went back in, you know, and I went back into the studio and went back on the air with them. And so that was weird. And then the fact that there's a canopy over the stadium, but that also required you know, the game to be pushed. I heard that there was a lightning strike near the stadium.
It was right there. Like, I saw it as we were walking in. It was rich. It was nuts.
And that caused all sorts of traffic problems yesterday.
Yeah.
But that was one thing out of sorts. But to explain to my children why the Mannings were not on, they were also very confused by that. And, you know, this is how I can tell the Mannings how popular their Manning cast is. That my two kids, my 13-year-old and my 10-year-old, were like, "You're not watching the Mannings tonight." And I'm like, "That's right, they're off." They're like, "That's right. We were talking about it," both of them, okay? A seventh grader and a fifth grader in a middle school and a grade school. They both said that their classmates were talking about it.
Wow.
And that they heard, they told me this. I swear, I was blown away that the reason why it's not on is because of the baseball playoffs.
Were they watching our show yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I don't know, but this is what they were talking about it. And, oh, I'm sorry. It was just confusing with you guys. You guys are my children. No, I'm just kidding. They both were like, "What's going on?" And I explained to them that if there was a game 163 tonight,
right,
it would have been on ESPN2. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm talking about this with my children. But they missed the Mannings last night.
We all did.
And, you know, and I tread in these waters lightly because I understand if I was calling the game and, you know, and somebody who I'm colleagues with, you know, and we've had Greasy and we've had Lewis Riddick and Steve Levy on this show. And I've known Steve since I started ESPN in 96. And obviously, Brian Greasy, I have nothing but love and admiration and respect for as a Michigan Wolverine. And Riddick is one of the best to listen to. So me saying that I miss the Mannings is no disrespect to them. It really shouldn't be viewed that way. But I missed them last night. And they should be thankful that they were off last night. Because if they're still getting used to doing this, as they are, there is no tougher thing to do in our business than fill time when you're not expecting to. And the rundown does not have anything on it because you've been caught blindsided by, oh, say, a thunderstorm in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
There are no what happens if there's a thunderstorm delaying the kickoff tonight in Los Angeles contingency plans. They don't exist.
No.
So the Mannings would have had, I don't know, would they have told them,
they'll
just show what's going on in the stadium. They wouldn't have had Eli and Peyton Peyton, you know, what's on your DVR? What's on Peyton's DVR? You know,
the Manning cast usually picks up right at kickoff.
Right.
So they take the 15 minutes of the guys in the booth.
Yeah, but they were ready to go. Like, I was signed off of Westwood One. Everyone was like ready to go. And then all of a sudden I get a call saying, "Hey, we're hearing that the game's going to be delayed." It wasn't like, it really was a last minute decision.
Yeah. I felt bad for Susie and everyone on the field when they kicked it back down to them because it was like, "All right, we got to fill. Okay.
I know.
Jeez, what do you think?"
I know. Steve Young is caught saying, "Well, lightning doesn't go sideways." And then Twitter lights up figuratively with photographs of lightning going sideways.
Right.
You know, because lightning can't go sideways through the open areas of SoFi. And it's just like, well
it might. Yeah. And then Gruden was so confused. There was a shot of him where the referee came up to him and was like, "Hey, the game's being delayed." And you could see him mouth. He goes, What for?
What for?
Yeah.
He's like, there's a roof.
He's like, "What for?"
That's what I was thinking.
He was so confused. And also, it was kind of a competitive thing, Mike, because the Chargers didn't come out of the locker room.
No.
The Raiders came out and were on the field and were all hype and then had to go back inside.
And then they started again,
because when they came out, the crowd, it was insane.
So now Eli tweeted about it? You told me that he did.
I have not seen it.
Is it weird that Peyton and I are just talking on the phone watching the game tonight? I assume he is still sweating a lot. Wow. Well done.
That was last night.
Well done.
During the second quarter. Pretty funny.
Boy, they know how to brand themselves in this Manning cast, and their humor is just spot on funny.
Yeah, no Manning cast until week 7.
So, because the next week is...
Two more off weeks.
Right. Oh, boy. The playoffs are tonight. good news for the winner of this wild card game tonight, Chris. Great news.
What's that?
That's next. I saw this.
Oh, gosh. Bad news for Boston.
No, you and I are both going to be, whoever wins tonight, is going to be very happy. This is huge news. Certainly to try and get to the championships round.
Okay.
The championships
I anxiously await.
The huge news. Break. Don't miss this. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. Michael Lombardi and Morris Chestnut, Hour 3.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Very good. The best. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Chris.
Hey, Rich.
Where are you watching the game tonight? Home?
Absolutely home.
Okay, locked in?
Locked in.
Sarah with you?
Yep. She has a conference call at 6:30, so she'll probably check out later innings.
So that'll already be an hour and a half after first pitch.
Yeah, so about middle innings. Okay. So just be me and Cage checking out.
Okay.
He probably won't.
I've got my mom coming over for dinner tonight.
Oh. Nice.
She has nothing. That has nothing to do with the wild card. It's just, you know, we have a once a week thing for her to at least hang with the kids for sure. Menu. That's always on the schedule.
Yeah. What do we got?
I'm going to be grilling burgers.
Oh yeah.
So you know, I'll be peeking into the office TV right near the grill.
Yep.
And then I'll probably have to turn to some sort of radio as I drop mom back to her spot.
Yep.
Then I'll be locked in the late innings. Hopefully, it'll already be over. The question is, does Stanton hit one over the Green Monster again?
Like into the night. Yeah, I would bet the over on him and Judge to hit home runs. I'm not that confident. I mean,
Evaldi's a good pitcher, man.
Evaldi's really good. However, the problem is that when you're starting DH and arguably the best hitter on your team is not on the wild card roster because he slipped on second base, jogging out to the outfield and rolled his ankle and can't play. That's not a good sign.
He definitely can't play?
He's out. He's not on the roster.
Okay, that happened today, huh? Okay.
Not a great sign.
And neither is their best player in many ways in the month of September in Jose Iglesias because
he was ineligible.
He was picked up after the deadline.
Right. Oof. So, great sign for tonight. I'm real confident.
I don't know. It's still Devers, man. Confident. That guy can rake. Yeah. Dahlbeck, good old Bobby Dahlbeck. I'm nervous.
He's been hitting bombs. Hunter Renfroe had a great season.
I'm nervous.
I don't know.
Because also the winner plays the Rays,
and
let me just say this. Let me just say this.
Good.
I'm going to get something off my chest here. I love watching how multi-dimensional and functional these Rays players are. They all field. They all hit. They're all situationally smart, right? Most of them are fast. They can do it all. And they're all interchangeable and fungible, which lends itself to the Rays style of play just absolutely head over heels in love with the metrics that I cannot stand. I cannot stand it. It's tough to beat, man. It's tough to beat. But they're always going with their openers and their closers and then their five pitchers in between who all throw 100 miles an hour.
Right, right, right.
And then when Joey Gallo comes up, let's put four outfielders. The base hit that Rizzo came up with to set up eventually the Judge walk-off winner on Sunday was a line screaming line shot into right field that was almost caught by the second baseman placed in mid right field.
Right.
I mean, it was one of those, like, that's a base hit off the bat. And it's like, oh, my God, the guy who was placed perfectly to go catch it in the middle of right field almost got it. And the one time that Gallo got up that almost gave him a run event, you know, earlier on, was when they had four outfielders and he just laid down a bunt and put runners on first and second, and the Yankees couldn't make him pay. I just hate that style of baseball.
Yeah, the thing that I know you're allowed
to shift and you're allowed to do whatever. I just can't stand it, man.
Yeah, the Rays teams, they strike me very similar to the A's teams, the Billy Bean, the Moneyball teams. They're built for 162-game success, and then you just kind of throw that out the window because that doesn't translate to the way postseason baseball goes.
I don't know, because tonight you're going to see, you know, if Cole or Evaldi struggle in the first two, three innings, out they come. Everybody's alert in the pen, you know.
But there's a one-game playoff
situation. I understand that, but that's the way they play. They're going to play every game that they play every game that way. They play every game that way.
I just can't. I don't see. I don't think they have a shot to win. I don't think they're going to win.
You know,
the World Series. It's the Rays.
So that's an issue. Whoever wins this game does play a 100-win team in the Rays, who play the metrics and the numbers and the odds and all of that stuff. And I just can't stand it. But it's tough to beat. Here's the one thing that's good. Put up the tweet. Here you go. Angel Hernandez will be on the umpire crew for the NLDS.
Oh, thank God.
NLDS. Jeez. Not the ALDS. You know what? You know whose problem that is? It's the problem of whoever wins the National League Divisional Series to take on the Giants. You don't just have to take on the Giants, guys. The worst umpire of all time. And Angel Hernandez is doing the NLDS, and good luck to the Dodgers to get there, or the Cardinals to get there, because they really have it stacked against them. Because the winner at once who has to face Angel Hernandez
and
the Giants.
Well, you know who's
the home plate umpire
on Wednesday night. I know.
In his swan song is Joe West, who just, I'll just say this. Hey, Joe. Just do me a favor. Just lift your arm a little bit over your hip. Just care to give us a quick call, and so everybody in this stadium can actually see it. And it's only fitting that he's the home plate umpire in the first game of his final postseason of his career in Dodger Stadium. Because as we all know, one of his finest umpiring performances happened in Dodger Stadium in the game in the Naked Gun back in the day when, oddly enough, it was the Angels and Mariners playing one another and a right fielder attempted to assassinate the Queen, and it was really strange. And then the home plate umpire turned out to be an opera singer who was really a cop, and he was the one who put a player in a rundown, and Joe West handled it all with aplomb in that one. Hey, Joe, just lift your arm. That's all I care. Just lift your arm and say strike. Say it. Just say the words. Dodgers and Cards, you beat Joe West, and then you got to beat the Giants and Angel Hernandez. Oh, good luck.
Good luck.
Tu salud. So we got that going for us, Chris.
By the way,
they're all in the NL. They're in the NL.
Oh, great. Bucky Dent's going to be at the game tonight. Awesome.
Fantastic. Aaron Boone managing Bucky Dent attendant.
Boone's going to put him in the game, probably.
Beautiful.